Good evening, everyone. So, actually, I don't know what to talk about this tonight. And as I walk in and I saw that we have the poster that is resolving conflicts with mindfulness. So how many of you already got the tickets to this global conference? Ah, so I think I need to promote a little bit, isn't it? So tonight I'm going to talk about resolving conflicts with mindfulness. So that I wish that after the talks, most of you or all of you will get a ticket. Okay? Yes. You know, as all of you know, you know, like as a monk or nuns, we used to talk to lots of people. We did counselings and lots of problems, you know, and how said, you know, they have conflicts with their family, with the husband, with the colleagues, with the children, and children with the parents, you know, and lots of, you know, problems, you know. And just remind me recently, I watched a news, you know, from that YouTube. There was a lady from China. It's a true story. I'm not making it up, you know. And she wanted to divorce her husband because her husband cooking is terrible. And this is the reason why she divorced her husband. And I was like, oh, people have all sorts of reasons, isn't it, to divorce their husband, you know. And then I remember a few weeks ago, one of our supporters came to our monastery, and they talk about like retirement. So she said her husband is going to retire, and then her friends told her that, you know, if your husband retire, you make sure that, you know, you keep your husband occupied. If not, he will drive you up the wall. So this is what, you know, and I remember that happened just a few days, you know, before that happened. And there was a lady came to me that, oh, because her husband left her, and they're just temporarily separate, and she loves her husband so much. She said that I still love her, and I can't live without her, and, you know, like almost that this is her whole life. She can't live without her husband. Then I told her, I said, wait till if your husband stay with you 24 hours, I think will drive you nuts, you know. Sometimes this is how we think, isn't it? Oh, you know, we need this person, we can't live without this person. So I keep telling her that, you know, this is just part of your life, you know. And after many years, you look back, it's just part of your life. I said, you know, you have to move on, you know, and you learn from it, you know. So I have all these problems. And also remind me of there were couples, you know, this husband and wife. And I don't know why, and these people married for many, many years, 25 years. And all these 25 years, they've been quarreling. They argue, they quarrel, they're fighting all the time. And so the husband used to threaten the wife. He said that, you know, I will not let you go. Even if I die, I will come back to the house and haunt you. I will dig my way up, you know, to come and haunt you. And then, of course, sure enough, after a while, the husband just, you know, passed away accidentally. Then the wife, after the funeral, just after the funeral, next day, the wife go on partying, you know, as if have no tomorrow. And then the neighbor said, you know, aren't you worried, you know, because your husband said that, you know, she's not going to let you go, you know, if you're, you know, he said he's going to take his way up, you know, and to haunt you. So, and then now your husband just passed away, now you're partying like no tomorrow. She said, oh, don't worry. So this silly old man, you know, I'm not worried because I bury him upside down. And yes, and this is how, you know, because sometimes we live in this, in the society, we are all interconnected. We really cannot cut ourselves off. You know, we can't. And I know I've seen lots of people, they're running away, they give themselves all sorts of reasons, you know, not to face and not to deal with, you know, difficulties, you know, and they have lots of complaints about their partners, about the neighbors, and recently someone come to complain about the neighbors, you know, taking drugs, you know, and got very upset, you know, and all this, you know, and actually sometimes that a lot of suffering that actually we add on, we create for ourselves, you know. Just like the Buddha's talk about the two arrows. So the first arrows, we cannot avoid. You know, the first arrows, like sickness, you know, getting old, and death, you know, this is normal, you know, this kind of suffering, like for example, losing our loved one. So, and because that is natural, being born, having this body, you know, one day we're going to die, our loved one will die, will leave us, and this suffering that we cannot avoid, you know, and the suffering come from natural disasters, like, you know, we lose our, you know, overnight, you know, all our house, everything, you know, money, you know, wealth, you know, it's all gone in one, you know, overnight. We all don't know because life is so uncertain. And all this, and we cannot control, isn't it? But the second arrow we can control, that is the adding on. Just like the Buddha said, you know, the wise one, when they're struck by an arrow, they know that it's pain. And that's it. They leave it at that. You know, it's painful. That's it. The first arrow. But the foolish one, the Buddha said, when they're struck by an arrow, they pick up another one and they poke themselves a few more times. And this is how they suffer. This is how we create lots of suffering ourselves unnecessarily, you know. And this is how, like, you know, and we don't see that because of we don't develop the mindfulness. We don't aware of that. We don't see it, you know. So what is mindfulness? You know? What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is just be able to live in this present moment, is aware of what is happening right now. And it's a very common thing that just recently we have someone from Singapore. She's calling me. And she told me that she's been practicing meditations, and she's spending lots of time in the meditation center. And she told me that now she become very sensitive because of, like, she can't handle people, and she comes out, she feel like, you know, like she find that is a lot of when she comes out, she said that I have lots of negative energy, and I can't handle, and I can't even, some people can't, I can't even, they can't even touch me, I make me feel sick, you know. So I said, you know, what's wrong with you, you know? And I said that is, if you after practice, you know, you become more vulnerable, you can't handle. I said, that is something wrong with your practice, you know. Because of, I said that yes, because of when we have lots of distraction, so when we are not focused, so we the things that is always there, we do not aware of that. So when we start to become more mindful of what's the surrounding, you know, because when we are fully occupied, when we have lots of distraction, so our mind is very busy, so we don't really aware of what's going on. But when you start to practice, when you start to your mind start to calm down, and you become more, your awareness, your mindfulness becomes stronger. There are different levels of mindfulness, you know. The things are always there, but because of our mindfulness is not strong enough, our mindfulness is too coarse, we not be able to see the more subtle level of emotion. Underneath the emotion is always there, but we think that it's not there. So, and for example, someone said that when I meditate, I can feel much more, like it's very loud, like someone moving. I said, of course, because your mind is more focused, you are more aware because you are in this moment. Your mind is not busy. Your mind is not engaging. Your mind is not being distracted, like, you know, running around. So then you become like, it's all amplified. You know, it becomes really loud. Even slightest, you know, sound, you know, it's become very loud. But actually, it's always there. We only not aware of that. It is always there. But because after the difference is when we started to practice meditation, when we started to become more mindful, more aware of what's happening, you know, then it's become really, we manifest. It's just like slightest thing. If you put under the microscope, you can see really big, isn't it? But it doesn't mean that it's not there, it's always there. So because of after some time she spent times in the meditation center and in the monastery, because it's very quiet and no distraction. So your mind become like more really calm and peaceful, and you aware of the things around you much more, and it's all become really amplified. Then things become very loud. It's really slightest sound, you know, become very loud. And she picked up the negative energy much more. So I said, it's fine. If you pick that up, you become more sensitive. It's fine. But rather than you make use of that, your awareness, you become more sensitive. The sensitivity, you make use of that to become more considerate, you know, the people around you, to become a kinder and more compassionate person, but then use it to judge other people. And she think that somehow she feel that like her energy, she's so pure. You know, this come from the ego. Her energy is so pure that like as if that she comes out to the world, you know, and outside energy is going to contaminate her energy. You know, I said, you're crazy. And then she told me that her friends thinking that she's a big cuckoo. Because that she said, oh, I can't handle, oh, I can't, you know. I said, when you practice meditation, when you become more mindful, you have the awareness, actually you strengthen your mind. Actually you become stronger. Those negative, you know, emotion or energy will not affect you, you know. Not the other way around. Become like, she couldn't handle. I said, because of you, rather than just acknowledge and just know, you know, just aware of that and leave it at there. But because of she focused on, she add on all the story about, you know, adding on story, and she reinforced the feelings, reinforced, oh yeah, you know, I'm very sensitive, oh, I cannot handle. And this is how she reinforced that. And she created that. And she's not perceiving things purely, but because of she perceiving things, you know, she was perverted by her perception and her likes and dislikes. You know, I'm sensitive, and all the stories, you know, she's adding on. And this remind me of some years ago, we have one of our supporters used to come to a monastery, and she shared with us her story she said that, you know, she used to go past a place that previously there was a fight with the bikies, and there was a bikies that died, you know. And she, each time she passed by that place, she used to send loving kindness. She said, I can feel the beings there. The beings there needs loving kindness. I've been sending loving kindness to the beings. And then over about 4 years, you know, she's been doing that. She really feel each time her beings needs her loving kindness. And she's been doing that for a few years. And she can really feel that the being is there. So then one day, she's opened up the newspaper, and she read the story, and she discovered that the bikies that she thought that is already passed away, still alive. And all these years, she can even feel that this is how we reinforce, because we are not perceiving things purely, we add on. be thinking about it, you know. This is how, isn't it, sometimes psychologically, like for example, like if he knows that, you know, like I remember there was a restaurant in my hometown, and my brother told me that he loves to go to that restaurant, you know. He loved that. And until one day, he don't dare to go to the restaurant. Because of, you know, when you saw it, he said he saw that the chef, you know, sitting out there, and he just using his hand, rubbing his foot, you know, his toe, and then he just like that, and then he just go in and make those, you know, we call it roti canai, you know, the roti, you know. And she said since then, he dare not go to that restaurant again, because the more you think about it, you just, oh, you know, I don't know how, all these years I've been eating, you know, and he add all these extra ingredients into the food, you know, and this is how, you know, and this is how we, the more we think about it, you know, it becomes so real, and the same thing like this lady. So I told her, I said, you know, you're just aware that you become more sensitive. You know, you become aware that you can pick up other people's negative emotions easily. It's fine, you leave it at that. But she's thinking about it, and she reinforced, and she add on all the stories, you know. So somehow, like, she's now purer because after practicing meditation, you know, so that those people have negative emotions going to contaminate her energy. So I said, no. I said, you have to bring your awareness, you bring back to into yourself, you look in. As that not to, because she focused outside. She looking at the object, she looking outside, and she thinking about it, you know. And then this is how we reinforce that feelings become very strong. You know, we cannot, you know, then to a point that she cannot handle. You know, because when we focus on that, it's really manifest. Like this thing like that, it become like unbearable, you know, because we focus on that. So I asked her, no, you don't focus on that anymore. You bring this back into yourself. You look in, don't look out, you know. You just leave it as that there, you know, okay, you know. And you just make use of the sensitivity, you know, to really become more considerate, you know. Aware of the people around you, to become more compassionate and become kinder, to become more caring, loving, but not that use it to try to justify and try to judge others that somehow she's more purer than another person. And also, and I have another case that someone have problem with her friend. And she was thinking, she told me that this friend of her been very bossy to her and sometimes said things that is really hurts her, her feelings. And then the other friend told her that, no, you should let her know, you should tell her off, you should let her know that, you know, it's not right. You annoy me, you make me feel agitated, you make me feel irritated. And she told me that, I'm confused. What should I do? Should I listen to this person that, you know, I should go and tell this person off and telling her that you're not right, you shouldn't do that to me, you know, you're really hurting me. So then I look at her. I said, okay, I just want to ask you one question. You just be very honest with me. If you have your friends, you talk to your friends have changed to be a better person. And then she really treat you very lovingly, very good, very nice. Do your agitation, irritation, annoyance, your anger disappear? Completely eradicate? You no more anger, no more agitation, no more irritation? She said, no. I said, the problem is, do you think that your problem is come from your agitation, your irritation, your anger. It's come from that person. I said, yes, you know, if you talk to that person, you help that person, but you're not helping yourself. You know, you will meet more of this kind of person. But it's not that you're not going to... It's not... What I'm trying to say, that my point is not that you're not going to tell your person, but you're going to tell this person. But you find if there is a right time, you know, right place. If you can say something, yes. But if you can't change your friend, you just have to leave your friend, isn't it? You have to leave her alone. Because we can't change everybody. You know, but it's... Because the problem is, we think that the object is a problem. And I said, it's okay. And sometimes you feel bad that you feel annoyed with your loved one. You know, I said, I sometimes feel annoyed with my own parents. I feel annoyed with my own brothers and sisters. I said, it's nothing wrong with that, you know. Sometimes it's nonsense. You can't help it, you know. When you have your sixth sense base, you have the object. When there is a contact, feeling arises. Sometimes you can't help it, isn't it? It's just the feelings. For example, like when someone criticizes you, so that is criticizes, that is not pleasing to the ears, you know, when you listen, you go into your ears, you know, and someone criticizes you, and then your reaction, your feeling is unpleasant, isn't it? That is, I said, it's normal if you feel irritated or agitated because someone criticizes you. And it's not, but we think that that person is a problem. I said, it's normal that you have this reaction. But if you leave it alone, it comes and go. You know what I mean? But the problem is we thinking about it, thinking about how bad is this person. I said, it's okay. Because that agitation and irritation, if you leave it alone, it's come and go. You know? But we think that it shouldn't be there. I said, of course, you know, if someone criticizes you, you won't feel happy. It's unpleasant feelings, isn't it? So you just leave it as it is. But sometimes that we normally we just add on. We think about it, and then we carry that with us. And sometimes that person, you know, already forgot what they have said. But we carry that with us days and nights, and we couldn't let that go. And then we reinforce that, and we develop a lot of anger towards that person. And then we think that that person, they are the one who create suffering for ourselves. But we create this ourselves. You know, we just suffer unnecessarily. So I said, of course, I said, you know, if someone criticizes you, you feel agitated, it's fine. You feel irritated, it's fine. I said, I said, how many people that, you know, I said, most people being criticized, you think people say, oh yeah, hooray, good. Oh, you criticized me. I'm so happy. No, isn't it? You're not happy. And it's just your reaction. It's just your feelings when there is a contact. But we add on, do that feelings, you know? We create lots of suffering, we add on. And then we think that the suffering comes from that person. That person give me lots of suffering. But it's not, you know? So we can't change other people, but we can change ourselves, you know? And sometimes that help. Sometimes even with our loved one, we find that they disappoint us, they fail us, you know? And we feel so disappointed, feel frustrated, and feel annoyed. But actually, nothing to do with that person. I share with her, I said, you know, I had this experience before. Sometimes I think that my family, my loved ones, they fail me, they disappoint me. But when I started to practice, when I become more mindful, when I started to investigate, when I started to ask myself, when I started to reflect and look into myself and ask myself, I discovered that nothing to do with them. It's about myself. You know, I impose my expectation, how I think of them, how they should be, you know, onto them. You know, my own ego, how they should, you know. And actually, they're just the way they are. They never change. You know, but we think that the person failed us somehow. But actually, it's our own expectation. We expect what we expect of that person. We impose onto that person. We never ask that person whether I'm, you know. And the person never said that I'm reliable, you know. But this is how we add on to that person. We impose onto that person. And, you know, and this is, we create a lot of suffering, not only for ourselves and to others. So that's why when we are aware, when we started to aware of that, we can see that actually the suffering is not from the object. Most of the time, immediately, because we've been conditioned that way. When whatever unpleasant feelings arises, our attention will always focus outside, focus on the object, focus on the person who criticizes us, or to the person who praises us. Isn't it? Then we think that the person who praises, they're really good. They're really so honest, you know, that you know, they're so, you know, so true, you know, that how they talk about me is so true, you know. This is how it's all come from our ego. We impose on others, you know. And I remember just 2 days ago, I have another case. And this person being brought up that her father is very controlling and control her a lot. And she used to run away, you know, from the father, you know, like she's always said that I can't deal with him, you know. But actually, she herself being controlling, you know, she imposed that onto her own, her adopted brother. And she wrote me an email that she was so upset, so angry with her adopted brother. Because her adopted brother, because she always want her adopted brother to become a monk. You know, he said, you better don't get married. Don't, you know, restrain yourself and not to get involved. Should restrain yourself and you become a monk and you know you are free of suffering. And actually just her ideas, isn't it? And she imposed this onto her adopted brother, and she was so mad that her adopted brother, you know, met a girl in the meditation center, have her address and her contact number. And she was so upset, she said, you know, and then she said that I'm very angry that he shouldn't have contact with this girl. He shouldn't attracted to the girls, you know. I said, what do you expect? He's just an ordinary young man. It's naturally he attracted to girls, you know. I said, but this is only her ideas. I said, have you ever asked him that, you know, that whether this is what he wants to do? You know, and this is how sometimes our ideas we impose on the others, and then we try to change others. And then she got so upset. Actually, it's nothing to do with her, isn't it? But somehow she identified, she tried to control her adopted brother that, you know, that she want her the way that she want him to be, and she's how we justify, it's really good for you. And he's not there yet. You know, it reminds me when I was still a lay person, I have a son. I remember I used to think that, oh, it would be good that he become a monk. And I remember I used to tell him that not to get married, da, da, da. And fortunately, I was wise enough that I picked it up that actually I stopped that. I know that I shouldn't do that. Because if I start doing that, because if I continue to do that, I make him feel guilty. That, like, he shouldn't have girlfriend, he shouldn't get married. Actually, you know, he have his own life. If I'm really loving, it's up to him whether he chooses this path or not. But not to impose, you know, and not to make him feel guilty that he shouldn't have girlfriends. I remember one of my friends also the same thing. She did that to her sister and asked her sister marry, and she told her sister, don't have children. If you have children, this is her ideas, you know, and don't marry. If you have children, you know, you will suffer. So don't, if you get married, it's fine. Not to have children. If you have children, you suffer. Poor her sister, when her sister got pregnant, her sister don't even dare to tell her. She made her sister feel guilty, you know. And she told me, I said, no, and I told her, I said, you shouldn't do that. I said, you know, I said that your sister is not there. Maybe having children is good for her. Sometimes people need to give. You know, and sometimes some beings need to be born. You know, you give the opportunities for the beings to born into a good family. I said her nephew, you know, so fortunate, you know, just a few months old, they take him to the temple and they got a blessing from the monks, you know. I said, sometimes the beings need to be reborn. I said, you're giving them the opportunities. Why you look at it that way? Sometimes, like, you know, the person is not there. The person is not that level yet. Sometimes people have to go through that, you know. I said sometimes this is also a practice to be able to give, you know, to look after the child. I said to give, to have the loving kindness. I said, but this is only your own ideas. This is how we think that we try to change others to suit us, and we try to shape others. Even some people, you know, before they enter into marriage, you know that person well, isn't it? But somehow people think that, you know, that somehow if I'm married to this person, somehow I can change this person to the ideal person, the person that I want the person to be, you know. You can. Sometimes we can't even change ourselves, isn't it? And then we try to change others. So sometimes a lot of this, the suffering is not come from the object. Actually, we create a lot of ourselves. Sometimes we feel that this person disappointed us, failed us, you know, we feel so upset, so angry. Actually, it's come from our own ego. We impose that onto that person, we impose our ideas onto the other person, without asking that person, you know, whether this is what you would love to do. If a true loving kindness is not thinking that what we think that person should be, but we should ask and should see what the person really needs, what we can help, what we can give, what we can support that person. That is truly, but we justify that. We said that we love them, you know. Actually, it's not, you know. We impose our ideas and then we try to change that person. And then sometimes like, this is how we create lots of suffering, not only to the person, our loved ones, our friends, and also to ourselves. And we just suffer and get upset, you know, unnecessarily. And actually, it's, you know, if you truly love that person, you just have to let that person be. So that's why sometimes, like, only mindfulness is not enough. Sometimes I've seen a lot of people that are aware of that. They're really aware of that. They know about that. But they're beating themselves up. When they started to practice, when the mindfulness becomes stronger, they can really see that all these underlying defilements come out. Because all these underlying defilements is always there. You know, there are different levels of mindfulness. So as your mindfulness becomes stronger, you'll be able to see the more subtle level of defilements, or all these negative emotions that's more subtle. That they started to see. And then some people feel that, you know, they're very upset with that, because they say, oh, I've been practicing so many years, why I still have these defilements, why I still get upset, why I still get angry. I said, of course you get upset. I said, of course you still get angry. Sometimes people think that this will go away immediately just because, you know. I said, why not you look at it in a positive way? I said, it's wonderful that you'll be able to see your own defilements. So a lot of people do not think that, you know, be able to see your own defilements, you need to practice a lot, and you need to have the wisdom to see your own defilement, isn't it? So I told this person, I said, you know, it's just sadhu, sadhu. I said, you rejoice that at least you see your own defilements. You are wise to that extent, you know. If you don't see it, you know, it's rather than if you think that you have no defilements, I said, you're absolutely deluded. But at least, you know, you see that, you know. Sometimes, like, you know, I remember when I was in Thailand, when I was by myself, you know. Nobody pressed my button, nobody, you know. And I was thinking, I was so peaceful, so happy. Then when I came out, and someone stepped on the floor that I cleaned, I was so mad. You know, sometimes this is how, you know, they say sometimes when, because of, sometimes we think that we think that we're almost enlightened until someone, sometimes we have to thank, I said, you have to thank that person, because of the difficult person, they make you see that, oh, actually, I'm not beyond, I'm still get upset, I still get angry. So, not to judge yourself, it's okay. That is being kind to yourself, to have loving kindness towards oneself, and not beating oneself up. And people just keep beating themselves up. You know, they think that they're terrible person because that they're upset. Why I upset with my family? Why I upset with my loved ones? They're so kind. They feel guilty. You know, I said, no, you look at it, you know, you turn around, you look at it, actually, that's, you have to thank that person that, you know, you be able to look, to see your defilements, you know, because sometimes if you associate with those that always agree with us, actually we reinforce our own defilements, and then we think that we are free of defilements, we are okay, we can't see. You know, so that's why sometimes, like, you know, I said that you look at it in that way that, you know, sadhu, sadhu. At least you're wise to the extent you can see your own defilements. And it's okay. If we don't have defilements, we are not here. So we know that this is something that we need to work with. You know, that is this defilements that is okay. Because, and it's not good or bad. It's not right or wrong. You know, and all those state of mind, you know, when we got upset, angry, agitation, it comes and go. If we leave it alone, it will just stay there. It will not come up because we keep reinforce that. You know, that's why it's important we forgive ourselves and forgive others. And I've seen a lot of people cannot forgive themselves and forgive others, you know, and then sometimes like they force themselves that, you know, I should have loving kindness. I should be able to forgive the other person. If I can't, I'm terrible. No. We have to be honest to ourselves. We can. And remind me of one that's happened quite many years ago. There was a guy that he, because his wife betrayed him, and then they were undergoing this, you know, separations and looking into divorce, you know. Then of course the wife tried to make up, you know, and he also tried to convince himself that, you know, I'm a Buddhist, I should be able to forgive her, I should be able to let that go, and if I can't let go, I can't forgive her, then I'm not kind, you know. Then he's forcing himself that, like, I should forgive her, but deep down, he can't. He really can't, you know. So I said, you have to be honest to yourself. You can, you know. And he tried to make it up, you know, make up, you know. It's a wife, and the wife said that to him, that if you really love me, you should be able to forgive me. I mean, it's easy said and done, but he said that he couldn't, because each time he just immersed in his mind that the wife is the other guy. He said he just couldn't let that go. I said, it's okay, you just, you know, you just forgive yourself. I'm not there yet. I can't let go. I can't forgive yet. So why not you send loving kindness towards yourself? May I be able to forgive? You know? Loving kindness is goodwill. That goodwill, you know, sending loving kindness towards oneself, that okay, it's not I can't forgive at the moment. It's fine. It's okay that I can't forgive. That it's being kind to oneself and not to pretend that I'm okay, I'm fine. I said, it's not going to work, so I said. If you force yourself that you should forgive that person and you try to make up, I can guarantee it's not going to work. It's not. Because it's still deep down there not resolved yet, you know. So unless you come to a point that you'll be able to forgive, then it's okay. But you are just denying. You just, you know, you're not really being honest to yourself. And I have another case the other way around. It just happened recently that she betrayed her husband. Her husband left her. And she said that, oh, it's really bother me is that I find that my husband don't really love me enough, because I already asked for forgiveness, but he couldn't forgive me.
if he loved me enough, he should forgive me
because I asked for forgiveness. Then I told her, why not you forgive your husband for the fact that he cannot forgive you? You know, sometimes we think that that person should forgive us, you know, we think that this person should, you know, why not you forgive that person that they can't forgive you? Sometimes we have to be really honest to ourselves, like we are not there yet. You know, acceptance is also being kind, accepting who we are, you know, because sometimes we have that rejection, we have the resentment, not accepting who we are. And when we try to push things away, that is ill will. That is opposite to kindness, loving kindness. A true loving kindness, we embrace, you know. That's why it's important. Just have mindfulness, not enough. That's why we develop this loving kindness every day. The first thing, we wake up early in the morning, we deliberately bring out this thought of loving kindness. What I can give, what I can be of service, what I can help the other person. To bring out that, you know, to be able to embrace. Because once you have lots of loving kindness, you have a big heart. You can easily forgive others. Because your heart is strong enough, you have this open heart, you be able to embrace, you be able to forgive, you know. Because we all make mistakes, you know. No one born, you know. Sometimes that, you know, no one born as a perfect husband, perfect wife, or perfect parents, isn't it? We all don't know, you know. I am a parent, I know. I'm not born as a parent, as a mother. I don't know how to bring up my son. No one knows. We think that, oh, once you become a mother or a parent, you should know how to bring up your son. None of us know, isn't it? We learn as we go along. Slowly we learn. So wisdom is come from life, come from experience. It's not from the knowledge. It's from the everyday life. So we make mistakes, we learn. This is how we become wiser. So the beauty of the Buddhist teaching is we don't carry the guilt. Yes, we make mistakes, we have done, but we don't beat ourselves up. We let that go. Because loving kindness is not only to others, towards ourselves, to be kind to ourselves, forgive ourselves, to accept our own mistake. It's okay. You know, we all, if we don't make mistakes, we are not here. If we don't have defilements, we are not here. And it's just part of that, you know. This is the whole package that we bring with us, you know, from previous life. So that's why we deliberately, you know, every day to develop that, to bring up this a sense of loving kindness, and also be able to forgive others. Forgiveness is also being kind. Kindness. Sometimes, lots of times, we think that we forgive others. That means that we are we forgive the other person, then the person benefit, you know. But actually, we are the one who benefit because we let it go, we free ourselves, we don't lock ourselves in. The problem is sometimes we get locked in, we can't see, you know, because this is how whatever emotion comes up, we got locked in. We not be able to remove ourselves, you know, from that situation or from that emotion, because straight away we identify ourselves with that emotion, so we get locked in, so we not be able to remove ourselves, you know, to step out and look at it, you know. And this is how we, little by little, you know, the letting go will not happen overnight. And then this, you know, it takes a lot of practice, you know. I've seen very common thing. People's, you know, they come, they know about all this in theory, that they know that, yes, this is come from the sense of self. I have to go beyond the sense of self. But we cannot go beyond sense of self to try to rationalize things, you know, and try to analyze, you know. You can't do that. You need to deepen your practice. Your mindfulness have to be really deep enough to see your that underlying tendency, your underlying unresolved emotion,
you need to deepen that. Then only you'll be able to see that. It's not by just try to, you know, make sense, you know, and try to, you know, analyze, you know, and try to how to use our rational minds, how to, you know, to resolve your problems. You can't. It takes a lot of practice. You have to keep practicing. You need to keep deepening our mindfulness. You know, when our mindfulness is strong enough, then we'll be able to see. We'll be able to resolve a lot of unresolved emotion. But of course, mindfulness is not enough. You have to also have kindness, loving kindness, be kind to oneself. So if we want to resolve, you know, conflicts between ourselves and others and all the difficulties and problems, so with mindfulness and loving kindness, that kindness have to come together with mindfulness. Just mindfulness is not enough. So I offer this for your reflection. Any questions or comments? Okay, there's the first question. Hi, Venerable Hasapanya. Sometimes I do metta meditation and find that people who irritate me does not matter. However, the effect of the metta meditation wears off after a while and I feel irritated to a stand. Can you please advise me how to top up metta feelings I feel during my meditation? And then this is how, like, we think that when we have loving kindness and we do not react to the emotion now and we think that we have done with, no. It still keep coming up. It will keep coming up. It will not go away immediately. Even, for example, like people that used to irritate us when we started to practice loving kindness, then we feel better. I mean, it doesn't mean that irritation go away immediately. It still keep coming up. But the intensity of the irritation become weaker and weaker. This is how. We cannot, you will not go away immediately. You know, this is how the practice. Then you have to keep practicing. And because sometimes a lot of people have that perception, they think that, you know, once I practice then, and, you know, once I practice and then forever, you know, I have no more agitation and no more irritation towards that person. No, it still keep coming up. Because we've been building up this energy, sometimes not only this lifetime, sometimes even countless lifetime, you know. Sometimes these emotions still come out, this agitation, irritation still come out. So it's okay. So we have to keep practicing. And then we can see that over a period of time, the agitation, the intensity of the agitation and irritation become weaker and weaker, eventually it will disappear. But it takes time. It's not going to go away immediately. It's just like the energy that we have been built up. You know? It's just like the simile of the ball. When we throw the ball, it's roll, the ball keep rolling. So if we keep kicking the ball continue to roll. The same thing. Even we start to practice, we don't react to our emotion. Doesn't mean that our irritation, agitation, the emotions immediately gone. No, the energy is still there, but it's become weaker. So if we leave it alone, if we do not react, we keep practicing, eventually the ball will keep continue to roll. Eventually the ball will stop, isn't it? This is how the practice is. The practice is not to use willpower to stop. We cannot use willpower to stop anything. It's naturally. It takes lots of practice. So that's why this person asked, can please advise me how to top up the metta feelings I feel during my meditation. You just have to continue to do that. You have to keep doing it. It's just like you change your way of your mental habitual pattern, you channel a new channel. So when the channel is not deep enough, sometimes the water still flow back to the old channel. It's okay. So all we need to do is just to keep practicing and practicing until that our practice is deep enough. Then we don't go back to the old habitual pattern. So it takes time. So the energy eventually will wear out. You know, the ball, if you leave it alone, it will stop, isn't it? But the problem is if we keep kicking the ball will keep rolling. It's just like we keep feeding it. So it's just a fire. If you keep putting in kerosene, you know, you keep putting in, you know, a petrol, it will keep burning. The same thing. So we have to keep practicing. There's no shortcut. No shortcut, you know. It takes time. Hi, Venerable Sapanya. What if idea we have for the other person is so that we can get along better, but the other person just will not do it? What kind of mindset should we approach these situations and handle our emotions? From Indonesia. So, if the person, we can't force other person to do it. Even I myself, I cannot force my son to do anything. He have, you know. Sometimes, a true loving kindness, you have to let that person be. That is truly being kind to that person. We can try and do our best to help that person. But eventually, because that person have to have the willingness to do that. It's, for example, we have parents come to me with their teenage, you know, girls, you know, because of involved in drugs and things like that. So I look at the girl, I said, you know, that your parents, myself, we all would love to help you and support you. We really love to support you and help you. But you have to have the willingness yourself to change. So I said, if you're not willing to change, you're not willing to put in effort, you know, no matter what we try to do, it's not going to help. It's ultimately come from that person, you know. So we can try. If the person not willing to change, not willing to do it, so a true loving kindness, even no matter who the person is, we disagree with the action, the deed, but, you know, but we still be kind to that person. Still, you know, being caring, you know, and have loving kindness towards that person. So sometimes this is how we create so much suffering for ourselves, isn't it? We try to change others. Sometimes we can't even change ourselves, you know, and then let alone we want to change others. So it's not easy unless the person willing to change. If the person not willing, there's no point. You just completely waste of time. But we can always, even we can't change that person, but we can always care. We can always be kind to that person. Even the person not willing to change. So I have developed a fear for meditation. Mind thinking, I value the imperfections of my mind and do not want to remove the imperfections from my mind and do not want to remove them. Isn't having imperfections part of being human? Once again, that we are not trying to get rid of things. This is what I'm trying to stress again and again. Some people think that, you know, we have defilements, we should get rid of it. We shouldn't have this, we shouldn't have this, we shouldn't have that. You know, it's not about that. It's missing the point. You know, defilements arise because of our previous, you know, actions that we experience the defilements now. And this is beyond our control, you know. So we accept that. Doesn't mean that we have to continue to be like that. You understand what I mean? But we just acknowledge that. We know that, you know, that yes, I still have these defilements. It's okay. So we let it be. Accepting it and let it be. The problem is because of our ego, we won't let it be. We want it to go away. We try to get rid of it. Or, you know, we think that, oh, this is, and this defilement is not me and mine. That is come and go. It's a mind state. You know, anger, lust. It's just a state of mind. It's not in our mind. It's not, you know, not in our mind itself. It's just that when there is a contact, when we have the sixth sense base, when we have a contact with the external object, that is feelings arises. And the feelings arises, that is pleasant, unpleasant, and where we got hooked, that is where we got hooked. Then we got pleasant feelings, the greed arise, we want more. And then unpleasant, we got angry, we got upset, the anger. And that doesn't stay in our mind. That's only arises, and it arises, it's passed away. It's like the Buddha said, all things impermanent, even our state of mind, whatever we experience, it arises, it's passed away. It's not going to stay there forever. So it's not that it's in us and we try to hold on to it, you know, we can't. It's come and go. So because we identify this with ourselves, we make it part of us. So we think that this is me and mine. So any more questions or comments? I think that's about it, huh?